You are listening to Jehovah's Watchmen, a consideration of doctrinal teachings, history, and current events in the light of Bible prophecy, and the special role of Jehovah's Witnesses in modern times, with emphasis on the importance of staying on the watch for the impending second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, your host, Robert King.
Hello, everyone. Coming to you from an undisclosed location, you're listening to the Watchman's Post podcast, otherwise known as Jehovah's Watchman. Actually, I'm not in an undisclosed location. I'm in southern Michigan, USA. I haven't gone underground yet, although I expect to eventually. Today is September 9 in the year 2022. And yesterday marked the passing of Queen Elizabeth. And that lady has been queen for as long as I've been alive. In fact, she was coronated the year that I came into this world. So, whatever that means, I don't know. But it's interesting. I've listened to a few of the tributes to the passing of Her Majesty, and they speak of the British Empire of yesteryear and all of that. And, well, it's all a part of a gigantic myth, just as much so as the myth of evolution or climate change or, the British Empire still exists. It transformed itself. Just like Satan is a master of disguise, the British Empire transformed itself into a financial empire, yes, an information empire foremost. It is an empire of the mind, is what Lyndon LaRouche called it. And by the way, he was born 100 years ago yesterday. So that's two things that happened on September the 8th. Very strange. Anyway, we're entering into a very interesting time. I don't believe that the last days have begun yet, but we're getting close, is what I mean to say. And once it starts, there's no going back, my friends. Looking at the news here, the EU is wringing their hands trying to figure out how they can save the traitors of gas and oil. You have to ask yourself, why do we need traitors? In the old days, before the London took over the whole free trade business, buying and selling things. I mean, ask yourself, what business does a broker at Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or dozens of other banks, what business do they have buying oil and gas? They don't produce it. They don't transport it. And they surely don't refine it. They don't store it. They just buy and sell. And that's all they do. I remember reading years ago that when a tanker of oil leaves, say, the Persian Gulf and is steaming across the Atlantic to, let's say, the United States, or maybe it goes to Japan or wherever, the cargo on that oil tanker is bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold over 500 times while the oil cargo is in transport. And, of course, the buyers and sellers do not take delivery of the literal cargo. They just profit from whoever buys it from them. And they may rebuy it from the entity that purchased it from them. And it's crazy. But that's how this system works. And then on top of the buyers and sellers, there's the buyers and sellers of derivatives that are side bets on how the other transactions will transact themselves or play out. It's so complicated. It's inscrutable. But they say now that this derivatives market is $2 quadrillion, which dwarfs the underlying economy of which it is a parasite, basically. So here the Europeans are. How do we bail out the banks and their derivatives books and these traders? Because if they don't, then their system collapses. But in the meanwhile, the power is going to be rationed, and people, millions, hundreds of millions actually, are facing a very cold winter, and the power may go off entirely. And if we have a really cold winter, people will start freezing to death in their homes. And as it stands already, businesses are going to go under. Many businesses, especially Germany, looks like it's a ground zero for this detonation. And without gas, I mean, it is central to the manufacturing industrial base. And of course, they're all blaming it on Vladimir Putin. And no, everyone refuses to pay Putin. He says, well, he's been cut out of the dollar system, right? They confiscated $350 billion of Russia's money that was parked in the reserve banks to carry out, you know, their transactions of trade. So Russia cannot do business in dollars, so it required nations that want to purchase natural resources that Russia has a vast quantity of, they must do so in rubles. And some countries are so foolish and stubborn, they refuse. We're not going to assist Putin. He's a bad guy. Okay, well, he can't sell you his product then, right? And the people are going to suffer big time, and they are already. But this is why I say I don't think the last days have begun, but we are close, because the last days begin with a big bang. Well, we're already on the edge of war. Some say World War III has already started, and I don't dispute that. A spokesman in Russia said that America has declared war on Russia. I mean, they've armed the Ukrainians. They've been training them, that the head of NATO admitted the other day. I don't know if he intended to, but he said they'd been in Ukraine training and arming these, many of them Nazis, for many, many years prior to Russia's invasion. Anyway, so yeah, 2022 is, we've still got a few months to go. Who knows? It could blow up. And if not this year, count on it next year. You know, I entertain questions from you, the listener and reader. I posted an article some days ago that this September 2022 marks a little bit of an anniversary for me, because it was 20 years ago that I first went online as eWatchman, began posting a few articles, and sort of grew from there. And, well, here we are 20 years later. But anyway, I have a few listeners and readers, and here's a question from one of them. He cites Mark 3:35. That's where Jesus said that those that do the will of his Father are his mothers and brothers and sisters. So he said, what is the will of God for me at this time, as someone stumbled by the heirs of an organization that has attached itself to the name of God? What should we/I be doing at this time, in other words? Well, you know, if you are aware that you have been stumbled, my question is, why are you still stumbled? It seems to me most people don't realize that they have been stumbled. What does it mean to be stumbled? It means that your walk on the path to life has been interrupted, that you've fallen down. And a lot of people don't realize what they have stumbled over. So here you are following the watchtower. It claims to be the earthly mouthpiece. That's saying a lot, isn't it? The way to God. And, well, they've done a few things in error and taught and are teaching things that we know are not true. And so, yeah, that's a stumbling block. But Jesus said there would be stumbling blocks. He said they were unavoidable. And in fact, Jesus said there were stumbling blocks within his kingdom, not in the heavenly kingdom that is going to rule the world, but within his congregation that is made up of prospective kingdom heirs. Because during the harvest, which occurs in the last days, during the harvest, Jesus said he would send out his angels and they will collect out from his kingdom persons doing lawlessness and all things that cause stumbling. So there are stumbling blocks within the organization that Christ uses. So now this listener is saying they've been stumbled. Well, get up is my response. You know, there's a passage that Jehovah's Witnesses are very familiar with in Zephaniah, the second chapter. It says, gather yourselves. Yes, gather yourselves together, O nation that feels no shame. Before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before the burning anger of Jehovah comes upon you, before the day of Jehovah's anger comes upon you. Who is you in this context? Well, some may be inclined to say, well, Zephaniah was prophesying to the Jews, and Jerusalem, of course, was the place where Jehovah had placed his name, and the Jews became apostate. Their kings and priests rebelled against God, and on and on. And that's true. But that's simply the setting. Because, well, verse 3 goes on, and the Watchtower recognizes this as a much broader meaning. They drop the type and a type thing, but this is definitely, Jerusalem is a type. Verse 3, seek Jehovah, all you meek ones of the earth, not just the people in Jerusalem. Seek Jehovah, all you meek ones of the earth who observe his righteous decrees. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Probably you will be concealed in the day of Jehovah's anger. So Jehovah's anger is coming upon his organization. Jerusalem was his earthly organization, but now it's Christ's congregation. We know that from, if you go on and read in Zephaniah, he speaks about giving a change to a pure language, and that is after he purges the wicked and removes the stumbling blocks, after his burning anger purifies those who remain. Because if you, the concluding verses in that prophecy, verse 12, for example, chapter 3, it says, I will allow a humble and lowly people to remain in your midst, and they will take refuge in the name of Jehovah. And those remaining of Israel will practice no unrighteousness, and they will not speak a lie, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. They will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Well, that certainly doesn't apply to ancient Israel, even after they came back from Babylon. They practiced unrighteousness big time. They killed Jesus. Jesus said of the Jews at that time that you are from your father, the devil. Huh? So, yeah, they were liars, deceitful. But no, it's talking about Christians at the second coming of Jesus. So, what should you do to do God's will? Seek Jehovah, seek meekness, seek righteousness before the day of Jehovah's anger. A lot of people will be trying to figure their way out, save their necks when Jehovah's day arrives. So we are to, and it's interesting, he said, seek Jehovah, all you meek ones of the earth who observe his righteous decrees. So people that are doing God's will need to keep seeking God. This is where the Watchtower has sort of brought us to a dead end, because the overriding attitude is that they have attained righteousness. They've attained the truth. They're in spiritual paradise, right? So they don't really need to keep seeking Jehovah's righteousness or seeking meekness. They've got it all. But you know, we really shouldn't allow ourselves to be stumbled by that, because we need to build upon what the Watchtower has given us, the basic truth. I mean, at least we know who Jehovah is, right? We know he has a name. I just read the verse there in the third chapter. They will seek refuge in the name of Jehovah. So that's a big deal. Those calling upon the name of Jehovah would be saved. That's a really big deal. That's something to build on, isn't it? So doing God's will would involve us seeking Jehovah. That would involve praying to Jehovah. That would involve reading his word. It's Jehovah's word. We can't know Jehovah or seek him without reading the Bible. And I mean, every day. The Watchtower encourages that, so no need to throw the baby out with the water, so to speak. Seeking meekness, now, that seems to be where the Watchtower has really run off the rails, you might say, because they have become, well, I'm going to take you back to that third chapter, verse 11. On that day, you will not be put to shame because of all your deeds with which you rebelled against me. For then I will remove the haughty boasters from among you, and you will never again be haughty in my holy mountain. So again, it's talking about Christians who are in Jehovah's organization, in his holy mountain, who in God's sight are haughty boasters. They're not meek. They have no faults. They never say we're sorry, even though they've stumbled. People like the questioner here, what do I do? Well, they would never tell you. They'd tell you, well, get up and get back in the organization. It's the only way you can be saved. Go back to the Watchtower. Well, what if that's not possible? What if you can't stomach the idea of subjecting yourself to these haughty boasters and liars? What hope is there? Well, again, I'll take you back to what I've been preaching. Seek Jehovah, seek meekness, seek righteousness. Carry on with your faith. Don't allow yourself to simply wither and die. You know, people stumbled over Jesus too. He told them, unless you drink the blood of the Son of Man and eat his flesh, you have no life in yourselves. And people who had walked behind him and saw him perform all of these miracles and listen to him preach these winsome words of wisdom, they said, who can listen to this? This speech is shocking. And they went off and refused to follow Jesus. And they obviously missed out for the, I'm certain they weren't there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So they had an opportunity to become members of the kingdom, but they allowed themselves to be stumbled. And Jesus said, happy are those who find no cause for stumbling in me. So they found a reason to stumble. And I think Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes look for things to stumble over, and they don't try to resolve these things with their faith in Jehovah. People are going to be stumbled more and more. Jesus said, many will be stumbled. So the whole point is we have to have our faith solidly based upon God's word, the Bible, and in God's promises, and keep our faith built up. God's Holy Spirit is available to us as long as we're trying to do God's will. And, you know, there are opportunities. Well, people say, well, you know, I can't go out in service. I'm not associated with the congregation. You know, I had an experience yesterday. There's a neighbor down the road. He lets me walk across his property. There's quite a few acres. Goes down in a little hollow there. And it's, you know, just a nice path that people walk through there and take the little off-road vehicles or whatever, you know. But mostly I have it all to myself. Anyway, I knew my neighbor was ill. I'd spoken to his wife, and he thinks long COVID, isn't it? He's been, you know, ill for the last few months. So I wanted to share some things with him, and I went and knocked on the door, and his wife said, "Well, he's in bed. Let me get him up." I said, no, don't. But she did, and he came out, and we sat on the porch, and we had like a 3-hour conversation, and oh, wow. I'm looking out the window and a little fawn is running across the yard there. I've never seen him come up this close. I can't see her now. She went out of the view, but I bet she's the one that's been stealing the apples off my little apple tree, taking half bites out of them. Yeah. Anyway, we had the most wonderful, he's Christian, you know, that... Yeah, I hope I can have further conversation with him, because he's very meek, teachable, had questions. So, yeah, there are opportunities like that out there. And if you let Jehovah move you, and I know many of you might be ashamed to call yourself one of Jehovah's Witnesses, but you shouldn't be. And, you know, if people question the Watchtower and say, well, what about this and that? Tell them the truth. What's wrong with telling the truth? You know, that, well, the Bible foretold there would be an apostasy, a rebellion. You know, I have to pause occasionally doing these podcasts, and I clip and edit, because I live on a corner of... what have become a fairly, it's country road, but, and it's kind of sad. There are trucks that go by, but more and more cars are going without mufflers. And they go by, these little cars sound like tanks or something. And it's kind of sad, because I know the reason why is they cannot afford a few hundred dollars to replace a muffler on their vehicle. People are hurting, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, you have to pity people. You have to really feel sorry for them, because they're going to eventually be crushed. They're going to lose everything. They're going to lose their lives. They're going to not exist if they don't seek Jehovah, seek righteousness, seek meekness before this thing comes down. So just because you've been stumbled doesn't give you an exemption. You know more than they do. You know who Jehovah is. You know what the truth is. You know there's no burning hell. You know that the kingdom is going to rule this world. You know it's going to be a paradise. You know people are going to survive the end of this world. You know a lot. And just because maybe you don't suit up and go stand on a corner with a watchtower, it doesn't mean you will not have opportunities. If you seek Jehovah, he will open up and move you and allow you this privilege, really. Well, he has another question here, and he prefaces it with quoting, citing Mark 3:24. That's where Jesus said that... How can Satan expel Satan? If a kingdom becomes divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And his question is, examining history, hasn't Satan's kingdom always been divided and full of regime-changing strife? Or was Jesus indicating something else? Interesting question. You know, I'm going to quote an old rock and roll band, The Who... They had a song, Meet the New Boss, same as the old boss. So even though empires have come and gone, it's still Satan's kingdom, isn't it? So, yeah, it's quite messy, actually, because, humans have their own ideas and everything. So I don't think it's quite so easy for Satan to... wield his power and maneuver things the way he wants. It's a bit of a a botched job, you might say. He has another question here, so I won't dwell on that aspect of it. He said that proof that Satan's primary seed controls both sides, the king of the north and the king of the south. So Satan's kingdom is actually not divided, but superhumanly organizes to deceive everyone. It is divided. The iron and the clay is that division. And I have, I think, a unique perspective. But and it might even seem like I'm, you know, speaking from the perspective of someone in Christendom, a patriot. But I'm going to say it right out loud here. But I'm not going to put my hand on my heart or salute a flag. But I'm going to say, God blessed America. The reason I say that is because, well, what did Paul say in the 13th chapter of Romans? That there is no authority except by God. And all of these so-called superior authorities, these governments, stand in their relative positions by God. So while on the one hand, Satan is the ruler of this world, Jehovah frequently overrides him. For example, the Persian Empire, it took over and, of course, overthrew Babylon, and God used those Persian kings, Darius, Cyrus, for example, to release the Jews from their captivity and even assisted them, financed them in the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. So when we talk about the kings of the north and south, it seems to me that God has used one of them, especially the king of the south, to facilitate his work. And we have to appreciate that the founders of America, the pilgrims, were fleeing religious persecution, and they established a country that was based upon Christian principles that recognized the Creator, specifically the God of the Bible, as the source of all authority. So sure, we know that they, you know, didn't understand the truth as we do. They were burdened with a lot of false ideas that carried over from Catholicism and the Dark Age and all of that. But look what it led to. So when we talk about Satan ruling the world, we should not dismiss the fact that Jehovah is the true sovereign, and he uses kingdoms to accomplish his work. And when his work is done, then it all is replaced with Christ's kingdom. So until then, yeah, let your kingdom come. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Like I say, I committed myself to doing podcasts more regularly. So if you have questions, send them my way with an email, watchmanspost@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail message. And until then, may Jehovah bless your search for the truth.